All right.
Hello, everybody. I'm Wiley Waller. I'm proud to welcome everyone who's tuning in our third meeting with Mr. Oski. Thank you to Kate Harness for broadcasting this through the 307 Net Radio. Once again, to the students interested in reaching out,
I'm Kaden Singling, and I'm a senior.
And he's Camino, and I'm a junior.
So thank you, everyone, for being here today. So let's get started.
Super excited.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, I'll start with our first question that we have for you. With our recent half day and virtual day and those sort of things, how does the process of closing school work? Do the roads play kind of a huge role in determining your decision, and are you in charge of making that final decision?
Yes, lots of questions within one question.
Yes,
so let me talk about the journey.
Okay.
And then if I miss something, you guys can just redirect, all
okay.
right? But this usually starts, can we just use last week as an example?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's use last week as an example. So we know the weather's coming in, which is beneficial to technology. 20 years ago, we didn't. 10 years ago, it just was by chance. So we started knowing the weather's coming in. So as an admin team, I started communicating with them Sunday night. Hey, look at the weather. Look at the potential of what it looks like. I call the National Weather Service. And really, theoretically, they're still all predictions. So anywhere 48 hours is really when they nail it to where they're at. So we start out Monday. Monday afternoon, I started having conversations knowing that the weather was going to come in Wednesday. We had a quick admin meeting Monday night with kind of developing plans because the meteorologist at that point in time, also my communication with YDOT, Road and Bridge. So it's not just one organization. So you're talking to YDOT, you're talking to Road and Bridge. We're talking to the city of Buffalo about, you know, where their staffing is. Are they going to be able to meet the needs? What are their concerns? So this communication started simply Monday. We met as an admin team Monday night, kind of laid out some protocol. The weather looked like it was going to allow us to get through a majority of the day, and because we got to remember, this is Wyoming winter. We haven't seen Wyoming winter like this in probably 15, 20 years,
right.
which you guys have never seen, but I don't want to, maybe when super little. But we started having that conversation of what does that look like? So in that is we decided, my directive was is to push Chromebooks out
right.
because weather is still unpredictable of what we look like, and we start to monitor it. So, again, communication with National Weather Service, what has changed? So this is almost an hourly to every 2 hours, so it consumes most of my day as we move through. As we go through, we start pushing things out to parents because one of the things I've learned is in the past there hasn't been a lot of great communication, so we want to be out in front. But I don't want to over-communicate because if the weather changes, you know, when you wake up to sunshine and it's supposed to be a blizzard,
yeah.
that's really hard, knowing that the school district shuts down the entire community. We're the largest employer in the district, but parents have to stay home. So there's the safety of kids, bus drivers, whether they can get out, whether they're, you know, they have to feel comfortable in driving around. So we're taking all this into consideration as we move forward. So Tuesday, as we know, the snow started to come, which came 2 hours earlier than the meteorologist expected for Mr. Oski.
Right.
So we canceled some things. We pushed things out. YDOT actually had to help us get some buses home, which is super exciting. I mean, we are collaborating to make sure people get home safely.
Right.
And I know it's hard, but 2 hours is a big difference in my world. We have to tell parents at least 3 hours in advance. So we're kind of pushing things out.
Right.
So it's a lot of pre-planning. And then on a typical day, transportation starts their routes at 3 in the morning. I start looking on and start communicating with other superintendents, communicating with the National Weather Service about 3:30. And then we start putting all the data together and try to make a call by 4:30 in the morning. So this last one, we just knew that the National Weather Service had said it's coming in. There was a potential of it classifying or moving up to a blizzard condition, which it did. So we made the call, roads were closed, and we went virtual that Wednesday for
right.
a part of a day. And so the question is out there, why did we go 3/4 of a day? Because we also had intel that the internet system was potentially going to struggle keeping up and that it could go down that afternoon. So providing virtual school and the potential of the internet services not being able to be provided, right. We decided to try to shoot for a, what I want to call a Friday schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weather was supposed to change, so we had decided to do a late start on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the weather was going to change. But it still meant that all day Wednesday during virtual school, my day still started at 5 in the morning, checking roads, making sure we made the right decision. It went through the entire day until about 8 o'clock that night.
Hmm.
But we did make the call by 4 that we were going to do a late start. So, again, YDOT, Road and Bridge, communicating with all those people that the schools could be open, that we were going to be okay. It was also the change in temperature. It wasn't
right.
Snow now. So we had buses that will potentially gel up, high winds, that visibility. So those are all the things that take into consideration. But it doesn't happen, then it stops. I just want you to understand. I make the final decision based on a lot of feedback and a lot of support,
right.
But it's monitored hourly throughout the entire process.
Gotcha.
The other pickle that happened last week, and I call it a pickle for those of you who like pickles, is we had our state wrestling. We had state events that the Wyoming High School Activity Association made it a point very clear, if teams don't make it, we're not canceling the event.
Right.
So those decisions come into place to make sure that kids get an opportunity.
Absolutely.
So we sent the wrestlers with intention. We could have sent them Tuesday. However, if you've watched the data, Midwest to Casper has been closed 2 or 3 days a week.
Right.
So when do you make that call? Well, guess what? Virtual plays. The kids could go down. They could still be virtual.
Right.
So we could provide some things that way. In addition to that exciting opportunity, Mr. Oski with transportation was also guiding all 1A schools to Buffalo Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
Because they were going to have their regional event here in Buffalo starting on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those teams are coming in. So in addition to our school and taking care of our kids, I made sure that we were working with YDOT so all those schools got here safely.
Right.
So talking with their superintendents about roads, getting their kids, getting them to the motels. And then Wednesday, most of our maintenance or crew was working to keep paths clear for those schools. Our transportation department was also working with some of their buses that had gelled up just to make sure everybody was safe. So it was a very busy week in Johnson County, not just only for our kids, but for 16 other teams around the state.
Right.
So that was... Mr. Oski is glad that the sun is shining today.
Yes.
But I guess the overall view is I need to hear is I can't predict everything, so you are making a guess sometime in the dark.
Right.
The sun can come up, the sun can go down. What we see out this window might look different 3 miles down the road.
Right.
And so, you know, but the safety of kids and everybody, and more importantly, getting people there and back safely is our number one priority.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah. I have a question, Mr. Oski, which is, what are your kind of boundaries? At what point do you say, okay, the wind chill is too high, or the snow is too deep, or the visibility is too low? What are your parameters?
So one of the things is there's a parameter. So one of the things I started about eight years ago was a group communication with superintendents around us, so we're all consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we kind of set some of those boundaries. So with wind chill, anything that's going to sustainably last negative 32 or longer for an hour, that's not acceptable. So
right.
Then we're not going to run a route. If it's wind gusts at a negative 32, it's a gust, it's not a constant wind.
Mm-hmm.
That so the average is a negative, and that's cold, negative 18, is constant, then we'll try to run those. But we don't want that constant negative 32, so kind of between negative 30 and negative 32 is where we land on whether we run buses or how we do things with that piece. Well, when you have a negative 32 wind chill, that means there's wind. And so depending on if it's heavy snow or light snow, it depends on what that creates for visibility.
Yeah.
However, the exception that we've seen this year, okay, heavy snow doesn't really, it blows around at 20 miles an hour, but gusts up to 80 miles an hour like they've seen in Casper, 50 or 60 miles an hour will move anything.
Right.
So yeah. You take some of that into consideration on how far and what you can do. However, some routes are different than others mm-hmm. than what we do. So in-town kids, if they can make it, but it still causes drifting. So is the city going to be able to clear some of those drifts so you can get some people in and out? So the temperature is based on wind chill. And actually, if it was negative 32, we wouldn't be running. Because if it was negative 32 and you had any kind of wind, you're talking negative 40 or 50.
Right.
it depends on circumstances. KC, they stayed virtual both days mm-hmm. because they had a lot more snow.
Right.
20 miles, the direction I live, has probably four times more snow than we have here.
Right.
So it's all based on location and where you're at.
Gotcha.
So those are some of the parameters. First of all, can you get in? Can the city get the roads cleared so people can get to the schools? We have to decide, well, we can get them here, but can we get them home?
Mm-hmm.
That thing looks right because I have lived that experience where it was sunshiny in Campbell County. And then all of a sudden at noon, it was a blizzard and we had kids staying in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being a predictor of when you should send kids home and how you should send them home is always a guesswork. National Weather Service, those people are super nice and they are just predictors based on a computer generated, software that tells you what they think it will be, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair?
Yes.
Did I answer your question?
Very much so, and I think we all need to be grateful for your extremely advanced meteorological expertise in juggling all these pieces.
And there is, and there's a lot of variables, and there's just so many, I mean, from Dustin with YDOT to Les here with the city to Scotty Hokanson and KC on YDOT to Scott here with Road and Bridge. I mean, there's a lot of people that are wanting to make sure. And we, over this last couple months, have built a relationship where now they know where our buses are so mm-hmm. they can support those or they can get out in front of those buses or which main streets do we want to keep open in front of schools.
And
them knowing there's a two-hour late start allows them to develop their schedules.
Right.
Or like the late early release, YDOT said, oh, okay, I'm going to send my plows out this direction so they'll be back in time so we can say the plows have been over the road once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So collaboration is a key component to this.
Yeah.
We're going to switch gears here a little bit.
Sweet.
And as three of us in here got to witness the first ever women's sanctioned girls wrestling championship, so what were your thoughts on that? Like, just what you saw, how do you think?
First of all, I love state wrestling, so let's be very clear with that. And I thought it was super exciting. I think we've only seen the beginning. I know we had over 200-plus athletes compete. The projection right now is that will double or triple over the next 2 years, which is going to, you know, create its own issues in itself. The state tournament is already long, but we want that competitive piece. But
right.
I'm very excited, and we have a state champion here in our school and our community. And to be a part of the very first state championship is super exciting from a former wrestling coach to get to see all of that event take place. I thought it was done. I thought the girls had an opportunity to showcase at the right time. With the March of Champions and the semifinals, those people that don't know about Friday night's March of Champions and the semifinals, that is probably the premier night to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That is the night. I'm not taking away from the championships at all. Please don't get me wrong, because state championships are state championships. However, you get it, that's when you decide it all is on Friday night. So it's intense. It's exciting. And they got to premiere on what I consider the best stage during the wrestling tournament, which was Friday night.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Fair? I couldn't agree more with your statement about Friday night. Just you can feel all the tension in that event center. That's where things are broken.
And I'm going to give a little plug. I told our coaches, and I'm going to tell you as a wrestler and everybody, when you guys walked out as a team, you were a class act. And that made me super proud as not only a former wrestling coach who knows the traditions behind it, but as an educational member of Johnson County. You guys were a class act. And I know there was some, it kind of changed the way people marched in, but the way Johnson County represented, the way you represented Johnson County was a class act mm-hmm. Friday night. So.
So Hazen, you're a wrestler, and you have been for many years, I know. What do you think about women, the ladies having their own wrestling league? Are you supportive of that?
Yeah, I am. I think it's a great opportunity for those girls to see some success at a level that is more fit for them, I think. You know, and there's been girls that are really good in the boys' division, but just for them to have their own state championships and just the sanction, I think it's a great opportunity for those girls. And it's a great thing to see as a sport's going to grow.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the nature of the sport, the fact that it's such a close physical sport, when girls are wrestling boys, it brings into play, especially adolescent, and teenage students, it brings into play all kinds of things that are questionable. Mm-hmm. And I think, I hope that this is going to see a much greater uptick in the number of girls who are prepared to wrestle, because then they don't have to wrestle boys. They can wrestle girls. And I think that there are lots of benefits to that. And hopefully it's going to grow and be a really strong sport here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. And it's just, there's different wrestling styles too. With girls, they're more flexible usually in the... They have to use more technique rather than some of the heavier boys' weights where it's just kind of bruiser and all just really big guys throwing each other around. So I think that's really cool to see. Really good.
Great.
Yeah. This has been a great opportunity to get to speak with you, Mr. Oski. Because I'm a senior and Cadence is a senior, but for these future classes that are coming up who might want to continue to do this, like, how do you suggest, we get involved with issues brought to the school board? I mean, it's really hard because we're kind of starting from, scratch. This was just something that we were like, oh, let's try this. Like, what are any suggestions that you have?
Suggestions to keep this moving forward?
Yeah, kind of.
You guys set the tradition that this needs to continue. And I would like that to be driven by you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I can expect it, or I can say, ooh, is in my position. And I don't like to reference myself as a superintendent. I just want to say in my leadership position, I can come to you and say, hey, let's just meet and talk.
Right.
I want you as a student body to feel this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want it to necessarily be my hot topics. I think this is an educational platform. It's a learning platform for everybody. But more importantly, you are future leaders, right? So it's going to start with this young man over here, and you guys create a tradition as people move up. And we can solve problems together. We can inform people together. It also gives me, in my role, the opportunity to know what's really important, because sometimes you can look and say, oh, I know what's good for them. No, I really don't. Okay.
Right.
In some cases, I will. I'll be the parent and say, no, this is how we'll do it. But your viewpoint is critical. That's the world we live in, right?
Right.
You guys live in a world where you see things a little bit different, and we have to be open to that.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're going to always change, but if we're not open to listening to what you guys are doing and make the changes when it's feasible to make those changes, then we're probably not doing what we should be.
Right.
Fair?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, we as students and us as student council and kind of what our role is here at BHS, there are a lot of things that I think we should come and talk to you guys about, because I think that makes a connection with you guys that needs to be there. And I don't think that we've really done that in the past. And so I hope when Wiley and I leave and there are new people coming into these leadership roles that we can keep this going, because I think it brings up a lot of things that need to be talked about, especially from a student standpoint. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. And I hope you find it beneficial.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to shut the door to it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the lack of communication is really hard, because, and some kids are going to be like that. They're going to be like, oh, I don't want to talk to our superintendent, which is fine. But I definitely know that there's kids, who want to. Like, I've had plenty of people volunteer to do this with you. So I hope we can continue it, because I've learned a lot more than I intended on.
So do you, as student council members, do you have a mechanism whereby you go and talk to the rest of the student body? How do you connect with one another?
Well, it kind of depends on the topic. So we have like our meetings every 2 weeks, and we meet as a council. And then we kind of just try to spread the word, like, mm-hmm. by ourselves. If there's something that we need to talk about, we kind of split into classes, because there are some things that you can say to seniors and juniors that maybe freshmen and sophomores don't really understand. Mm-hmm. And so kind of dividing up into classes and talking about what's going on and the issues that we need to cover and that sort of thing. But definitely as the student body president, I think I and our council need to find a better way to bring back what we're talking about to the student body as a whole, whether that be through our assemblies or mm-hmm. just meeting and talking about what's going on. But yeah, for the most part, we break up into classes. We have our class meetings, whether it be an advisory or they do some during the end of class periods right. or whatever. So yeah, for the most part, that's kind of it. But
okay. I also want to put a plug in. Without 307net, this wouldn't be really as effective as it is, so I appreciate you being
here. Yes, you're very welcome.
To hear that. And I think who we're communicating to and who's listening to this also needs to understand you guys are generating these questions.
Right. Yeah.
I want to keep away from Mr. Oski telling you what we should be talking about.
Right.
So I walk in blind, and I think it's good.
Right.
And let's be real. I have some peers that go, oh, you're crazy. I would want it all scripted out before you get here. And that comes back to trusting that what you're going to bring to the table,
yeah.
first of all, is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, if I can't answer the question, I'm never going to make a promise I can't keep, but I'll come back to you and
right.
we'll address it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, like, this one was pretty, you know, we jumped into one topic, then jumped onto the next, like, but I just think that, like, some of these questions, like, just kind of pop in as we go, like, you know, with wrestling and stuff, like, with this last weekend, I mean, it was big, like, it was a big thing. I mean, I saw you there, like, you know, I'm very glad that Hazen got to ask you that question, but, like, also with all of the weather that we've been having, you know, that's also an important question, so I'm just glad that we can, you know, get these questions out there. With you, you know, I enjoy it at least. I don't know about these guys, but
yeah, I like it too.
Well, I have to say thank you to you all. 307net Radio is very happy to you know, give you this platform, this to speak to a wide number of people, and I know that you get a lot of listeners. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's something that people are following, and I hope that we can continue to do it. You know, even after you seniors have graduated out.
Yes, absolutely. Me too.
Maybe they have to come back.
Maybe they come back and make a guest
appearance.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, very much indeed.
Yes, thank you so much.